We're studying systematic theology and the final message in systematic theology is eschatology or end times. In the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, where we're going to go in a few moments, we're going to go into Hebrews, the first chapter, though, now. And without looking at Hebrews, the first chapter, before you go into Revelation, the 19th chapter, and Revelation 10, 11, 12, and 13, you're going to miss the boat. That's all I can say. So let's not miss the boat. Let's catch the boat and get on board. We're studying why the tribulation period. Why the tribulation period? And we looked through history, and God has revealed to us what we might call progressive revelation. And we're living in the end of the church age at this time. We see a world at war. We see our nation at war. We see churches closed because of the coronavirus or COVID-19. We have another rash of that right now. Churches began to open. People began to go into to different congregations and different meetings of all sorts, and the coronavirus is rising again. The American people are having a real hard time obeying basic rules. Pastors, church members, are you pro-life? If you're pro-life, then start wearing your mask and doing things to protect yourself. If we meet in churches, I think churches are going to be, things are going to change. They have changed. There weren't any church services for months. Some churches, John MacArthur Church, John MacArthur was fined thousands of dollars because he had services. I know churches that had services, they still began shaking the hands again and hugging each other and spread coronavirus. If you're going to meet as a church, be very careful. From 1917 to 1920, America had to change to protect themselves from the Spanish flu or the German flu. We may have years of this ahead. So let's study our Bibles. Let's go ahead and preach the Word in whatever way we can. I was ready for this, by the way. We already were online all over the world. People weren't without church. You can meet online and hear the Word of God. We have discovertheword.com, discovertheword.com, discovertheword on discovertheword.com on YouTube, and sermonaudio.com/DTW, or Discover the Word. There are thousands of messages you can study out there. And as we go in to the book of Revelation and eschatology here, let's go back into the book of Hebrews and set a foundation who Jesus is. This is God's last message to humankind. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in the many portions, in the many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, the cosmos, the universe. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much better than the angels, he has an inherited more excellent name than they have. For to which of the angels did he say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you"? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And all the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds, ministers of a flame of fire, and of the sun, he says, thy throne, O Jehovah, is forever. Thy throne, O Jehovah, is forever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom, and thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, and therefore God, your God, thy God, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning did lay the foundation of the earth. By the way, the earth is not eternal. The earth had a beginning. And the heavens are the works of your hands, and they will perish, but you will remain. And they all shall become old, and as a garment, and as a mantle, you will roll them up. And as a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? And they not all ministering spirits and sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit eternal salvation? For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Many Christian Jews were drifting back into Judaism. For if the word spoken to the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, and how shall we escape if we next neglect so great a salvation after it was at first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard it? How shall we escape? If people in these last days will not hear the word of God and trust in God, they shall not escape. They shall go into this terrible period of time we're talking about. And God's also bearing witness with them, both signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, the world to come. The world that was, the world that is, and the world to come. What one has testified, some are saying, what is man that you remembered him? Or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that was not subjected to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him as of yet. But we do see him who has been made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering, or for the purpose of the suffering of death, and crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was befitting for him, for whom all things and through all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, the one who saves us, the one who keeps us, and the one who shall bring the world under the subjection of his power and glory and honor, because he is worthy of it. Now, in 1980, which was 40 years ago, I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation. It is an end linear with all kinds of commentary in it. And by the way, it's available in the web store in ebook form. 10 and verse 1 in the book of Revelation talks about the angel of the little scroll. And this is a parenthetical interjection in the book of Revelation between the sixth and seventh trumpets. And I saw another angel sitting, having come down out of heaven, and having been clothed around with a cloud and with a rainbow. Upon the head of him, now this mighty angel is permitted to appear wearing the same clothing as God wears. Psalm 103 verse 3 and Isaiah 19 and verse 1. This probably is Jesus, but some people say it is Michael, the archangel. The face of him as the sun, the Helios, and the feet of him as pillars of fire, and having in his hand a little scroll, a Biblion, a small scroll, having been opened up. Now this is a scroll. It rolls up. It's not a codex like a book. It is a scroll. And you roll it out and it has seals where it stops. And then you have to break the seal and it rolls out a little more and it stops again and you have to break another seal. This is a seal. This is a scroll. John was a Hebrew boy. Now the book of Revelation is written in the Greek language, the Koine Greek language. But it has so many Hebraisms in it and so many Hebrew grammatical areas in it that many people say that there was too many mistakes in the book of Revelation. There wasn't one mistake in the book of Revelation. John wrote it in Greek because he was a Hebrew. And it had Hebraisms all through it. And having in the hand of him this little scroll, and it's opened up, and he placed the feet of him, the right foot of him, upon the sea, and the left foot of him upon the land. Now what this means is that this angel has power, and by the way, Jesus is called the angel of the Lord several times in the Old Testament. He's called the Rock of Israel also. This angel has power over the whole sea, and has power over all the dry land. Taste gaze, happy taste gaze, upon the dry land. 10 and verse 3, and he cried out in a great voice, a loud voice, just as a lion roars. And when he cried out, he spoke, he talked with human language. That word elaleison there. That means to speak with a human language, a human dialect. Not like a lion roars, but it had intelligence in this roar. And he spoke in human language, and the seven thunders, the ones of themselves voices. And when he spoke in human language, the seven bronti, the seven thunders kept on being about to write. He said, I kept on being about to write, and I heard a voice out of heaven saying, you seal up the things that you spoke in human language, that they spoke in human language, that is. And the seven thunders, and not, you may write them down. You shall not write them down. Bronte, and that seven thunders. By the way, the word brontosaurus comes from this Greek word, a scientific term here, bronte, which means a tremendous roar. 10 and verse 5, and the angel whom I saw, the one having stood upon the sea and upon the land, he lifted up his hand of him to the right hand to heaven. Now he has power over the sea and over the land and over heaven also. A sign of authority over the sea, over the land, and over heaven. Ten and verse six. And he swore by the living one unto the ages of the ages, the eternal living one. Now this word swore there is homosen, homosen. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. Homosen means to fence yourself in. When you make a contract with somebody, when you sign a contract for a home, sign a contract for a building, like a contractor, you have fenced yourself in to do that work. When you sign a contract for a loan, you fence yourself in to pay for that loan. In other words, you'll do it. If you go down and buy a new car and you sign a contract on that car, you sign a contract to fence yourself in to pay for that car. When you sign a deed or you sign a will, you have fenced yourself in to do that thing, what is required of you. Now, the living God has fenced himself in. The one who created the heaven and the earth, the heaven and everything in it, and the earth and everything in it, and the sea and the things in it, because time no longer shall be. Now, look at the chart behind me for a moment. We have eternity past, and if you go look over this way, we have eternity future. And between the great white throne judgment and the creation of mankind, now I want to say this again, the creation of the heavens and the earth were not in time, but in the eternity past. But from here, when time began, as we know it, from the creation of Adam, all the way over here until the end of the great white throne judgment and the judgment of all living things, angels, spirits, and mankind. Between those two pieces of eternity, there is a little piece of eternity called time, chronos, time. And we lived in that time. We live in that time. And just look at how God has revealed himself to us from there all the way from when he created Adam all the way over here until the church age where we are. Look how God has progressively revealed himself to us and revealed his plans to us. Here in the sixth verse of Revelation, the 10th chapter, it says that time shall cease as we know it. Seven. But during the days of the sound of the seventh angel, whenever he is about to trumpet, when he's about to blow his trumpet, and it was finished, the mystery of God. The mystery of God. What is the mystery of God? The Mormons. You look at the Mormons' idea of God. And the biblical God and the Mormon God are not even related whatsoever. You can go on and you can look at the Orthodox Mormons have plural marriages because Joseph Smith and Brigham Young did also. And you go and you listen to these men that have three or four or five or six wives, sometimes up to 10, living in this, what we call polygamy areas, You listen to them and see what they're trying to do. He said, we're trying to be like the Father, God. We're going to become gods like He is, and we're going to take all of our children, and we're going to populate a planet out there in space somewhere. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is not the biblical God at all, is it? God is the God where all men shall answer to Him. We are not little gods. We're not going to imitate God and people worlds. We're going to be subject to that God. We're going to follow that God for what He, the instructions that He gives to us. The Islamic idea of God is that Muhammad was the only prophet, was the last messenger, and the apostle of God, or the messenger of God. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. We see Allah and we see Muhammad almost sitting in juxtaposition. Allah God gives all the judgment unto Muhammad. And He will judge all mankind. The Bible says, by the way, Muhammad tries his best to be bigger than Jesus. He had this dream, this night vision. He made this trip to heaven. And he basically rode a baruch, this flying mule looking thing, from Mecca to Jerusalem. And he went to Jerusalem and they were going to pray. And Allah told, or Muhammad asked Jesus to pray. And Jesus said, oh, you pray much better than I do. You pray. Because he did the perfect prayer. Prostrated himself and he did the perfect prayer. Every time Muhammad speaks of Jesus, he's a diminutive figure. And Muhammad is greater. Satan shall have a son one of these days. He shall have a real son. And that son will be active during the tribulation period, which is right here. That son of Satan may already be in the world today. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is Jehovah God in flesh. The word Jehovah means He who shall become. The word Jesus or Yahshua means Jehovah saves. John 1:14 says that Kai Hologo Sarx Aganito, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh He became and dwelt among us, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the only God we shall ever see. We as human beings are flesh, we are spirit, and we are soul, and those are three entities. We are triune as God is triune. You can't see our spirit. You cannot see our soul, but you see us as we're manifest in flesh. As far as I can tell, God, from the Word of God, God sent His Son into the world. Galatians, the 4th chapter, says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, that He might redeem those who were under the curse of the law. God became flesh, and God lived a perfect life. God proved Himself to the world. There is more historical evidence of the birth, the miraculous ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection in historical writings than there is in the Bible. And the Bible's got a lot of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and every book in the New Testament tells you about that. 1 Corinthians tells you what the gospel is. Muhammad had a gospel. Joseph Smith had a gospel. Brigham Young had a gospel. Charles Taze Russell has a gospel. Mary Baker Eddy had a gospel. But it's not the gospel of God. And God, as he preached, he evangelized, he gospeled the ones himself, slaves of himself and of the prophets. He preached his gospels, the gospel that has been written down by the prophets, is what it says. Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, just didn't come into the world. The gospel is that he came into the world according to the Old Testament writings. That he lived just exactly, that he died just exactly like they said he would, that he rose again. And he proved himself to be the resurrected Christ and the Messiah, King of Israel. 10 and verse 8. And the voice which I heard out of the heaven, again speaking in a human language, lalousen, with me, and saying... Now this is the word lagusin there. Here we have lalosan. That means to speak in a human language. And then we have the word lagusin. It means that he set one word after another in order where we could understand it. That comes from Lego. Saying, you go and you take a little book. The one having been opened up in the hand of the angel. And the one having stood upon the sea and upon the earth, and I went toward the angel, saying to them to give to me the little scroll. And he says to me, you take and you eat it down. Kataestio. It here is kataphage. You eat it down. And... it will become bitter to you in the stomach, but in the mouth of you it shall be sweet as honey. Now John wanted to see judgment upon these God-hating people, and it was sweet to him as he saw God bringing the judgments. But after John saw how terrible and horrific the judgments were, it became bitter medicine to his stomach. Sweet, sweet as honey. Gliko, gliku, hos mele. Gliku, we read a word glucose in that word, glucose. And sweet as honey mele. 10 and verse 10. And I took the book, the little book, the little scroll, out of the hand of the angel. And I ate it down. By the way, you don't eat your food up, you eat it down. You stop and you eat down until there's nothing left but a plate or a bowl or whatever. You eat it down. Kataphage. And I ate it down. And it kept on being in the mouth of me sweet as honey. But after I'd eaten it, it made very bitter and very sour my stomach or the stomach of me. Now, in chapter 11, let's do the rest of chapter 10 first. And they say to me, it is bindingly necessary for you to prophesy again before peoples and nations and in languages and to kings many. Now, I want to tell you something about the 11th chapter. Now, these chapters are all tied together. This is like a parenthetical chapter, just telling you something that's going to happen, telling us that now time shall be no more. Get ready for eternity. Now, in chapter 11, we're going to interpret the Word of God literally, because I believe it is literal. And I'm going to tell you this. This is a legitimate prophetic utterance. It is really prophecy. The great city spoken of here is real Jerusalem. there in Palestine, down on that hill, and the surrounding areas. The time periods are a literal time, not a figure of speech. The two witnesses are two real people. The 2 3.5 days are 3.5 days. The earthquake is literal. 7,000 men are 7,000 men. The death of the two witnesses are also literal. The resurrection of the two witnesses are also literal. And chapter 11 continues a parenthetical section with chapter 10, continuing the same subject that is in chapter 10. Now, this is quite a revelation. People are always talking about the apocalypse, the apocalypse, the apocalypse. When they talk about the apocalypse, they think about destruction and terrible catastrophes and the end of the world. The apocalypse is not that at all. The apocalypse is the unveiling of who Jesus Christ really is. Apocalypse, it means to uncover. And this is the uncovering of Jesus Christ and foretelling who He is and who God is. God is, you're not God. If you're a Mormon, you're not God. You're not a little God. You're no God at all. The temptation in the garden from Satan was, you shall become like gods, knowing all things. We are not gods, people. We shall never be gods. God has one prescription for salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, and not some through priests, not through some priests. It's not through the Jehovah's Witness kingdom hall. It's not through the Mormon church or the church of Latter-day, of the reorganized church of Latter-day Saints. Not through the Jehovah's Witnesses. Not through the Catholic Church. It's not through Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science. It is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message to Your people all over the world. And I pray if one that does not know You hears this message, that You'll draw them to You with great force and efficacy. Father, thank You for this night, for this day. Thank You for this room that we have to record these messages in. And I thank You that the fumes are lessening from the new paint. And Father, thank You for salvation that You gave us in Jesus Christ so free. It cost You everything. All we have to do is look and trust. Father, thank You for all the blessings You give us each and every day, and please forgive me where I fail You. In Jesus' name I pray.